Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Historic and extraordinary, those were the words used by Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon as the Scottish National Party celebrated a fourth consecutive win in the latest round of elections. Sturgeon's promise to bring Scotland through the pandemic and, when it's passed, to give Scottish voters the right to choose their future. This has led to a flurry of headlines and discussions surrounding the so-called battle over Scotland's future. To get the latest on what this means for the UK and the British economy, we're joined now by Pushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. Pushan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Always good to have you with us, Pushan. So let's talk about those latest elections that we've seen happening across the United Kingdom. More notably, what's happened in Scotland. Does this point to a possible referendum in the near future?
So I think Nicola Sturgeon is actually overclaiming the results. The SNP actually fell one short of a majority and its expectations were sky high. So they did well. Okay, they did get a fourth term, but the results were below the expectations. The SNP will now need the Green Party in Scotland to form the next government. Now, the Green Party is also pro-referendum and pro-independence, so the preferences of the SNP and the Green Party sort of align. But we all know that in parliamentary systems, coalition governments tend to be less stable, so this adds more uncertainty to the mix. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that today the support for independence has actually declined. It's now a 50-50 coin toss at best amongst the voters. So there was, a couple of months ago, a strong preference for independence, but it's been actually coming down. Now, if I look at the Conservative Party, now in these elections, they took a pointed decision that they were going to keep Boris Johnson out of the fray in Scotland because he's very unpopular in Scotland. They also wanted Brexit to be less salient in the mind of voters, given that a big majority of Scottish voters were opposed to Brexit. Now, the Tories did well, which means that the Tories are going to be more aggressive in terms of countering moves towards a referendum. So overall, less confidence from the SNP, given this mismatch between the results and their expectations, and more opposition from the Conservatives. So I think it'll slow down going forward.
And let's talk about the numbers that we saw during the last independence vote in 2014. Now, that was at the time it was billed as once in a generation, and just over 55% voted to remain in the United Kingdom. So talking about the shift that you've seen happen, do you think this could be on the back of perhaps, we've seen conversations around Team UK following the Scottish results, and we've seen some positive outcomes from vaccine rollouts with Scotland part of the United Kingdom. Could that be part of the narrative that we're seeing surrounding whether we could see a possible referendum and why people may be moving in the opposite direction?
I think it's an integral part of all of these shifts. So if we just go back to the end of last year, support for independence had actually climbed up to 55% among Scotland voters. And today they are split right down the middle. Mm-hmm. So what had happened last year was that Scotland had done a far more competent job in controlling the COVID pandemic. In contrast, in England, Boris Johnson's administration had botched up the initial response significantly. They were sending mixed messages on lockdowns. They were rapidly shifting stances on school opening. At the same time, Brexit happens in December. And this really adversely impacts agriculture and fishing. These are two big sectors which are important to Scotland. Essentially, all these exporters and producers found it very difficult to negotiate this ticket of regulations and forms, which they had been promised would not happen. So there were lots of trade frictions introduced because of Brexit. So the costs imposed by Brexit and the botched initial response by the Johnson government swayed Scottish voters towards independence. And they believed that in these elections, this contrast would work in their favor. But Boris Johnson did get one thing right, which is the last thing he got right, which was about securing vaccines and rapidly vaccinating a large fraction of the population. If you look in the last month or so, the cases have plummeted, deaths have almost disappeared, and the UK is going to open up further this month. So this performance of the COVID vaccination seems to have given these voters pause in their assessment. Now, had there been overwhelming support for the SNP in this election, there would have been a huge push towards a referendum on Scottish independence. But this did not happen. Now, going forward, I think the Johnson government hopes that, you know, crushing COVID and then the economy picks up and we get sort of like a V-shaped recovery, this will continue to fundamentally change the voters' calculations.
We're speaking with Bhushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. But Bhushan, what would a potential split mean for the Scottish economy and, on the flip side, the British economy as a whole as well? I mean, we are just coming off the back of Brexit.
I think the Brexit parallel is actually very important. So Brexit has taught the UK that the importance of not having trade frictions and the benefits of being part of an economic union that allows free mobility of goods, capital, people, etc. Now, let's say something like a Scotland exit happens, okay, Scotland becomes independent. So in that scenario, Scotland will basically look like the UK, you know, because they'll be exiting an economic union and the UK will take on the role of the European Union. Now, unfortunately, if Scottish independence happens, this will have a much bigger negative impact on Scotland compared to the Brexit impact on the UK as a whole. Now, why is that the case? It's the reason is that Scotland is far more integrated into the UK economy, and it's been integrated for a far longer time, yes, you know, since 1707. So there was a recent study by the London School of Economics, which found that the cost of independence of the Scottish economy will be about 2 to 3 times larger than the cost of Brexit. And this will happen even if they join the European Union. They have other costs which will come because they have to make this fundamental decision about what currency to adopt. Now, should they keep the British pound? Well, in that case, you know, their monetary policy will be determined by the Bank of England, where they will no longer have a voice. Should they adopt the euro? Well, you know, that is also not an optimal solution because, you know, they are not very well integrated with the euro-based economy. So they have to make decisions on currencies, they have to make decisions on trade, and all these negative impacts are going to be pretty significant for the Scottish economy.
And moving back to what you mentioned earlier about the overall British economy, Bhushan, and where we are with vaccine rollouts in the UK, would you say that potentially the UK is heading for an economic boom if we start to see things move in a more positive direction, the economy starts to open up again on the back of these vaccine rollouts?
You can already see that happening, that, you know, if you start looking at certain indicators like the Purchasing Managers Index, retail sales, etc., these have been picking up pretty strongly. The second asset class which reacts fastest is actually currency, because it's very deep and liquid. So we see the British pound has been appreciating, which means that, you know, investors are more willing to invest in British assets, which is, you know, strengthening the pound. So we already see this recovery happening. Now, getting back to the Scotland independence question, so in economic terms, given the UK seems to be doing well, Scottish independence would not be so gut-wrenching for England, okay, or for the rest of the UK. But I think it's more than that. I think the big blow that will come is to the very identity of the United Kingdom. So if you think of a scenario that there is trouble in Ireland and Scotland leaves, then suddenly the UK is comprised of England and Wales. So such a political shock means I don't think that the Boris Johnson government will survive. In fact, they will leap to the pages of history as the political party or the prime minister who oversaw the dissolution of the United Kingdom. And we will essentially go back to the beginning of the 18th century. But on an optimistic note, I think for these reasons, the negative costs in Scotland, the recovery in the UK, and you know, the identity issue of the United Kingdom, I don't think the referendum will succeed. Now, you know, I wouldn't put a lot of money on it because, you know, things might change in the vaccine rollout, variants, etc. But as things are going, you know, I think that support for Scottish independence is going to decline.
So what will you be looking out for next, Bhushan? I mean, Boris has called for a meeting with both Nicola Sturgeon, as well as Welsh First Minister Mark Drakeford, on their re-elections, inviting them to discuss their shared challenges and how they can work together in the coming months and years to overcome them. So what are you going to be watching out for in the next few months?
So the thing that I'll be really focused on is, again, sort of looking at the pandemic. You know, if we can get that far behind, every country, including the UK, can get it get around it through some combination of mitigation, suppression, vaccines, etc. I think that's going to be the fundamental focus. The second thing is that because of the huge spike in cases in the UK starting in December, the Brexit costs have actually disappeared from the front pages of the media, but the Brexit costs are still there. So at that point in time, I think they have to start thinking more about, you know, signing free trade agreements, etc. And this sort of unity coming together is going to be key, because if they're distracted domestically, it's going to be very hard for them to even realize the promise of Brexit, where they said that they would sign a bunch of free trade agreements with multiple countries. All of that will get paused because, you know, they will be dealing with political turmoil at home.
Well, Pushan, thank you so much for sharing all of those insights with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Pushan Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Sciences at INSEAD. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.